Letter number 47 to Federico Abresh from Bologna, Fiat in Voluntate Dei. Dearest son in the divine volition, the only consolation for a mother in having her children away from her is that they want to live in the divine will. When I think how much dear Jesus longs for it, and that the nail which transfixes him the most is that his children do not live in his will. And the celestial queen, what would she not do if she saw us living together with them with one will? They would certainly put their lives at our disposition. And living in the divine will is exactly this. God himself faces up to all our things and puts his sanctity, his love, all his being at our disposal, as long as he receives the contentment of seeing us live in that volition, which is the bearer of all his goods. Dearest one in the divine volition, to live in it is not about changing actions, but only the will. Instead of making our will flow in all that we do, we let flow that of God. And do you want to know what happens in our act? His love, his goodness is so great that as we form our act and let his will flow in it, the divine life forms in our act. And this life of God is repeated in our acts as many times as there are acts that we do. Do you think it's trivial that as long as I let his will flow, he gives me the power to form as many divine lives for as many acts as I do? They might be even natural or tiny acts. As long as his will is there, the great prodigy is performed. As far as weaknesses, miseries, and the like, as long as our will is not there, don't worry, since that is our ruin. They can serve as footstool on which the divine volition forms its throne in order to dominate us and reign, or serve as the crushed stone and rubble, serve one who wants to build himself a house, or as soil in the hands of our celestial farmer, who makes out of our miseries without our will the most beautiful flowerings in order to extend his kingdom. Everything serves his glory and our good in the divine hands of the fiat. However, I recommend that you do not think of miseries and weaknesses. The more one thinks about them, the more he feels them. On the other hand, if one does not think about them, they disappear, and he feels them less. More so, since sweet Jesus does not look at what we feel, but at what we want. Even more, many times he feels compassion for us and increases his grace and his strength in order to make miseries stay in their place. Besides, in wanting us to live in his will, dear Jesus does not want to deal with the dead, but with the living. Our miseries say that we are alive, not dead, and wanting to be the winner, he conquers them and makes of them the most beautiful ornament for his kingdom. Therefore, courage and trust, these are the weapons which conquer God. If we don't take the first steps, we cannot take the second, the third ones, and so forth. If we do not enter the sea, we cannot get wet or swim in it. Therefore, the essential thing is really to begin. The rest will come by itself. I recommend myself to your prayers. Tell little Pio that in everything he does, he should say, Jesus, take my will and give me yours. Raise him holy, that he may be a true son of the divine will. I leave the whole family in the divine volition. Try as much as you can to make the divine will known to everyone. In this way, you will obtain the grace to know it more yourselves. I send to all the greeting of the Fiat, the little daughter of the divine will. Amen, Fiat.
Thank you. Well, I think this is a very beautiful letter also, and very important, especially for when we want to introduce the divine will to others that they are new. Luisa Picarreta really explains very well here, first of all, that what the living the divine will is, the sanctity of the divine will, and what God does, as she says, and living in the divine will is exactly this. God himself faces up to all our things and puts his sanctity, his love, all his being, everything that he is, all his divine qualities, all his attributes at our disposal. As long as he receives the contentment of seeing us live in that volition, which is to bear of all his goodness. So as long as we decide with our will, and here in the next page is a very important part that it says, so since sweet Jesus does not look at what we, but at what we want. Remember in the Gospels, we see that our Lord Jesus, he was always praying. At night, he retired to pray in silence. At the times that he was rejected, when he was abandoned, he was always praying, even in his abandonment, even if in his humanity, didn't experience that consolation. Just look at his passion. How many times we want to, or we experience something and then we abandon prayer? Because this, we say, this is not fair, why me? Why do I have to suffer this and that and that? And of course, those are things that we experience in our humanity, and in a way is natural because it's part of our human nature. And remember, this is part of the consequence of the fall. But the point here is that our Lord Jesus, he never ceases praying, as we see in the Gospels. Even when he wanted, when they wanted to throw him down the cliff, when he went to Jerusalem and read the scroll of the prophet Isaiah, and he had to flee. I'm sure that that night he still went and prayed. He didn't say, "Well, I almost got killed. What's the point of, for me praying?" No, he instead, he always teaches. So it's not living in the divine will, living in this way is not a matter of feeling. But again, it's an act of the will that even if I'm going through difficult situations, even if I don't see how the situation is going to be resolved, even if I don't see that this light that our Lord Jesus is mentioning in the book of heaven that will happen in my soul, I don't see it, but I make an act of faith using my will, and I say, I give you my will. I don't know how you are going to accomplish all of all those things, Lord Jesus, in me, because I'm inadequate. I don't see how I can be united with your will. I don't see how this happened. I'm so sinful and all of that. I always keep falling and falling. I don't see how is that going to happen, but I give you my will. This is very important because to live in this way is an act of the will. And when we encounter those thoughts of distraction, as Luisa Picaretta, those miseries, as she says, not to dwell on them so much. Of course, if it's sin to recognize it, to make an act of contrition, to go to confession and to let it go, not to entertain it, not to become scrupulous, because scrupulosity is spiritual leprosy. Scrupulosity makes us focus in ourselves rather than in God, and focusing on what we are doing and us. It's like going to the Blessed Sacrament and keep looking at your belly. So, not to entertain those thoughts, just to give them to the Lord. And those thoughts, they tell us, as Luisa Picaretta says, that we are alive, and this is what God wants the creature to surrender while we are alive. Because he cannot do anything with the dead. Even the psalm says, the living gives you praise, not the dead. Because once we are dead, there is no life, there is no movement, there is no continuity. So this is what we are called again to live in, that constant union of the will, making a decision as often as we can, and renewing that constant decision that we want to live in His will, that we want His will to operate in us. Even if we are in a difficult situation, even if we are going through sickness, through happiness, through joy, at every moment. And in that way, our Lord will be able to help our miseries. He will be able to help our poverty, to enrich our poverty. But we must come like that before the Lord in order to live in His will, to live always poor, to be always with our nothingness, to recognize that without Him, that's what we are, poor and nothing. That our human will by itself brings only these miseries in us that makes us focus in ourselves rather than focusing in the gift that God is offering to us through these writings that we have now in our hands, the writings of Luisa Picaretta. So to enter in with this sense, to enter with this awareness that to live in this way, it requires for us to enter with all the powers of our faculties, with our will, with our intellect, with our memory, to even through the day to recall the divine will to operate in us, to praise the Holy Spirit, to thank the Holy Spirit, and to recognize that it is the Holy Spirit who is doing the work in us. So the disciples, one way to understand it is that the disciples, they have the master, they have Jesus as their teacher, as their guide, as their instructors. We don't have the sacred humanity of our Lord Jesus anymore, but we have now the Holy Spirit with us. And to enter with awareness and to give our faculties to the Lord, to give our will, our intellect, our memory for the Holy Spirit to operate in us, then in that way, the Holy Spirit will be able to accomplish in us the work of God, to bring us to that state in which God has always planned for us creatures, which is to enter into that ecstasy of love forever, beginning now, through our simple acts. So, as Luisa Picaretta writes in this letter, this is the same admonition for all of us. Teach the divine will, make it known as much as you can to everybody. In this way, you will obtain the grace to know it more. See? The more we teach it, the more we share it, we also obtain the grace to know it and to live and to be able to understand it better. So this is the admonition. Let's finish today with that admonition. And let's reflect upon that admonition that Luisa Picaretta gives us tonight, that we should make the divine will known to everybody. And my admonition to you is that I commend myself to your prayers. That's my petition to you. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for our sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. May the Holy Spirit descend upon each one of us, enlighten us, help us, strengthen us, protect us, and fill us with his eternal life. Amen.